Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number one, Ken. That is dummy number two, Lou, and we are burdened with glorious purpose to discuss the finale of Loki on Disney Plus. Came out this morning. Lou and I woke up bright and early to watch this show, and we were not disappointed. I mean, we have talked for weeks on end now about how we were fully aware that Marvel could pull another Ralph Boner and give us a King Loki at the head of the TVA. But instead, Lou, Jonathan Majors, Kang the Conqueror, is a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It is official. Loki will be coming back for a season two. Kang has executed his master plan with that wink at the end after spoiler alert, Sylvie gave him a little bit of a poke to the tummy with her knife there.
Yeah, quickest death in the MCU.
I know, but what a wink. That wink at the end. Oh, yeah. It got you. Lou, how do you feel, man?
It feels amazing to, first off, wake up early and be excited about something like this. I know I tweet a lot about how would these shows be received with us if they maybe appeared at night. But yep. To be able to wake up and then have this be like the front and center part of your day
is cool.
And be able to like interact with people throughout the entire day is awesome. And I think the Wednesday placement is so refreshing too, because not everyone's tired from the Friday work slog. So that was really cool. And, you know, this is MCU for Dummies, but just putting it out there, we know this is not the real Kang. We know this is a variant. We know that this is a variant who is he who remains. Okay, so before everyone starts jumping on us, we know that there's a bigger, badder Kang out there. But my God, Ken, if they're going to, we talked about like a couple of podcasts ago about Thanos and how amazing it was to see just like a whole movie dedicated to him, and then Endgame, his demise, and the culmination of the Infinity Saga. But this is such a great way to introduce Kang in this story, because you got to understand the motives of this one character and see just the opposite side of what we're likely to get in Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is going to be probably a true vicious villain. And that comparison is going to be really cool to see whenever that movie comes out in probably 2023.
Yeah, it's a testament, A, to how cool Jonathan Majors is, and B, to the depth of the chaos that has just been unlocked in the MCU, right? Because you're saying to yourself, how could this – I mean, listen, if there's somebody out there who's a bigger dummy than us, you're saying to yourself, what do you mean that's not the real Kang? There's going to be another Kang, right? Obviously, we know everybody's a variant, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, we know he told us straight up there are fucking sickos out there named Kang who are going to beat the hell out of you and turn this into a terrible, terrible war situation. And that is definitely on the horizon. And Lou, I was, you know, we talk about our intros to the MCU a lot, right? I didn't come in until Infinity War. You know, you watched Iron Man when you were a kid, and you didn't get back into it until a pandemic, right? Like, Thanos, for the original Marvel Cinematic Universe fans, Thanos was the guy from the start. They knew there was something behind. They knew there were motives behind everything going on. Fine, I'll do it myself, right? The Infinity Saga was built around Thanos, and he was a big, brutish motherfucker, right? Like, he would tear your head off, right? And that was a scary dude. But man, is there something scary about Kang the Conqueror? He's just so unhinged. Jonathan Majors played that just this goofy Kang, right? Like this guy totally detached from reality guy so well. And I'm so excited. Like, there's just something about this villain right now that is so unsettling to me, which makes him, to me, even a little bit scarier than Thanos, because he's got so much, just so unhinged to the reality of the world.
Well, first, we were introduced to him. He's laying down in an elevator with, like, velvet slippers eating an apple. And, yeah, to your point, let's just take a quick pause there. What did you, so we both watched this episode early.
Yes.
And we knew that they were going to reveal who is behind the TVA.
Yeah.
Sylvie and Loki are standing outside the door. They're having a really awkward moment dragging out the time on purpose. Yeah. What did you finally think of when that door opened and you saw Kang just lounging with an apple?
I was shocked. I was shocked. I thought we were getting classic Loki at that moment.
I was waiting for Richard E. Grant.
Yeah. just because of the way like it was all set up and like the comedic timing of like, okay, they're drawing out the entrance to the building and then Miss Minutes is there, right? And she's giving you the shit in the lobby, right? Like something about it just felt like kind of comedic and felt a little bit like classic Loki was going to be on the other side of that elevator. But then you just see this marvel of a man.
Yeah.
Behind the elevator door, lavishly on this velvet chair with his purple robes and his apple and his just totally chaotic nature. Oh my God, Lou, I was shocked.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then he's like teleporting around the elevator so you can't even touch him. A lot of questions come up, which is going to make this journey so much fun because Thanos was just this like image and then eventually came, saved the day. And since Endgame, we've always been thinking, what's next? Like, who's coming next? And now we have a conqueror. We have a character who is a conqueror in another life. But the true nature of King the Conqueror is Nathaniel Richards, who is a character in the Fantastic Four. And we know we're getting a Fantastic Four movie. So at some point throughout the timeline, Nathaniel Richards becomes King the Conqueror. And King the Conqueror is also a Mortis, who some people think is the alter ego variant that we saw in this Loki. I guess we'll have to wait to confirm that. But what's cool is that we're going to see like multiple movies of learning this backstory. And I think that's going to be really cool. And I texted you this too. Like even the actor of Jonathan Majors having to play like multiple different versions of this character is going to be really interesting to see. I just can't wait.
Yeah, I think there's so much to it. And it kind of gives you like this... this air of, all right, what are we going to do here with Kang, right? Because we've got so much on the near horizon, right? We're talking, I mean, and by near, I mean like 2023, but still, like the near horizon where we've got Multiverse of Madness, we've got Spider-Man, we've got Ant-Man Quantumania, right? All three movies, which we know will have to do with Kang in some way or another, right? Just because of the multiversal attitude of it all. So you're saying to yourself, man, Nathaniel Richards being the what is he, the father of the guy in the Fantastic Four, I believe.
He's the father of Reed Richards.
Richards,
but we probably got that wrong, so don't yell at us. We have to do our research.
Oh guys, please.
We have like 3 years to figure this out.
Somebody on Twitter said I was gonna haze you, but then I saw your name and I decided not to. Our name being MCU for Dummies. And we are dumb, so like don't get mad at us for being stupid, because we're stupid.
Nathaniel Richards is the father of Reed Richards.
Nailed it, buddy. Nailed it.
That works.
Score one for me. So you're thinking to yourself, okay. If we've got like all of these movies in the next, call it what, 3 or 4 years, right? With, or I should say 2 to 3 years, right? With Multiverse, Spider-Man, and Quantumania. And then you've got a Fantastic Four movie, which is on the horizon at some point. You are building Kang out, especially if you potentially could make Fantastic Four maybe some sort of flashback, right? Maybe a Nathaniel Richards origin story, right? With a little bit of Reed Richards involved, and then the Fantastic Four comes to be known there, right? There's so much that you can do here with Kang that I think we are in for the long haul with this guy. I don't think he's going away at the end of Phase 4. I think he's around Phase 4, Phase 5.
Yeah, we got to do some more research into, because Reed Richards is the son of Nathaniel Richards, but Nathaniel Richards is the one who becomes, alias is Dr. Doom. I think Reed Richards then becomes a Mortis, so we have to do some of our research here. But yeah, Ken, to your point, you have multiple renditions of this character, whoever you want to call the central casting of King the Conqueror, whether it's Pharaoh Ramatut or King the Conqueror or Immortus or even the Reed Richards in the flesh, which is likely to come in Fantastic Four. And that's what I think was so cool, to see that little like demo that the variant Kang gave us on the desk, where he had like those little cool characters of how he captured Eliath, and he learned from that, and then he was able to go back in time, and he's basically been the good guy all along. He's just been like holding the time, the TVA there. And how I think this was a success is because when he explained why he was holding the TVA in place, you kind of thought, okay, that makes sense. Like if all of this is going on and we don't know what's going on in the multiverse, then it makes sense. This was actually a pretty good plan by you, and
now,
you did a good job.
Now, Lou, do you buy that he didn't know at the end of the episode, right? So we go through the beginning fight between Sylvie and Loki, who kind of go back and forth and have them have a little internal strife between themselves, yeah. and then they make out, and then they have more internal strife. Do you buy the fact that Kang the Conqueror, sitting in his velvet chair with his apple, wink, wink, Lou, didn't know that Sylvie was going to kill him? Or do you think that he had a little bit of nefarious attitude knowing that Sylvie was going to kill him and that the multiversal war would sprout?
I don't think so, because he was the one who stopped the multiversal war in the first place. And
we don't know this for sure. He could have just been weaving a basket of lies.
That's what he said. So we'll have to believe him until the next movie or more story comes out. But it would make
sense.
You're
very trusting, Lou.
If he, I'm just going off the facts here and also playing devil's advocate to you. But he did tell us that he did stop all of this. So that makes sense. And then if the multiverse is just like a spider web of different storylines, then it wouldn't make sense that he would not know how time ends, because that circle, which also, let's talk about the intro, which was amazing. When I first,
yes, so
it's like
sick.
The sun's not so even up sick. And I'm hearing everyone's voice. And that's amazing. So Marvel does this intro where like all everyone's taglines come up while they're like flashing everybody in the Marvel Studio sign. And then you see this like really cool like rendering of space and time. And you see the time loop that he's watching over is a circle. So it wouldn't make sense that if he has constructed this time circle, then he would know everything. And then when it splits out, it would not make sense.
Here's nobody can even, I'm sure there's a lot of folks who say like, oh, you guys, you probably, because you're so stupid, you probably get all your thoughts from like other guys on YouTube and shit. Well, we're recording very, very early here, okay,
nothing,
folks?
Nothing
so,
is an original idea.
So, right. too. So, but here is an original idea. I believe this deep in my heart, that the Kang that we met is one of the worst Kangs. Mm. And he was able to win the multiversal war, and set up this timeline only to benefit himself, and to benefit the those surrounding him, and did not at the end of the day want to be killed. Wanted Loki to prevail, which we right now see as a good thing, right? We're like, wow, Loki was right and Sylvie was stupid, but I believe. That we will come to know that this Kang was bad, had won the multiversal war, did not want the branches to sprout, because now there's a chance that a good, more well-meaning or well-intentioned Kang could come back with the help of the Avengers or with the help of some superheroes and win the multiversal war and settle some things back down. I wonder the connection between the multiverse now and our good friend Wanda. There's so much there that just makes so much sense. And now I'm wondering, this is my favorite part of the MCU when we start to get these intertwined stories, is where does this fall on the timeline, right? We know the TVA was a place out of time, but these branches began at a specific time, right, on Earth or in our MCU. But when did it happen? Right after Wanda took over that town in New Jersey? Did it happen before Wanda did that? When did this happen? When did it happen in Falcon Winter Soldier? Where does this all fall on the timeline? I think that's going to be one of the more interesting parts moving forward. Lou.
Wait, really quick. Before we move on. That it brings up a good point. I think that your background in just character development in movies it makes a lot of sense in this scenario. And even the Avengers Forever comic book series is based on Kang helping the Avengers fight against Immortus. So I do think that's in play. Like the Kang character has glimpses throughout the MCU of being bad, and he also has glimpses of being good. So that does make sense. But at some point we're going to talk about Renslayer. Renslayer leaves and then seems to have just been Agatha all along pulling the strings here and knew what was going on, and her departure would make one assume that she's either going to see Kang. We'll either get that in Loki season 2, or we'll get that in Ant-Man and the Wasp in some sort of showing here. But I just want to throw that out there, that there are good versions of Kang that do help the Avengers for mutually beneficial terms, and likely maybe something that we see in future movies too.
Yeah, it's fascinating, right? And I'm kind of like even talking myself out of my own theory now that when I, you know, because let's get to the end scene a little bit here, and then we'll kind of we'll walk backwards. We'll Tarantino it through the episode here.
Okay.
And my theory being that the Kang that we killed was actually a bad Kang pretending to be a good Kang with a bad decision that was actually a good decision. Blah, 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 blah. Right. A little convoluted there, Ken. Yes. Thank you, buddy. When we're at the end of the episode, we see Mobius and B-15, who are newly imagined, right? They are definitely variants of themselves. They do not recognize Loki. Mobius is confused. He's saying, does he want us to let them branch, right? What does he want us to do? And they know that it's Kang in this TVA, right? In this reality, they know it's Kang. There's that one statue of Kang at the end of the episode, which everybody's looking up at. That's how the whole thing comes down. Lou, man, like, is this just a totally new reality? Are we just on a different branch timeline? How did Loki even get there, right? Like, did when Sylvie pushed him through the temp pad right after their makeout sesh and knife battle, which is just a common Thursday night, did she push him into an alternate reality, or what happened here? What are your best thoughts?
So the key thing with Sylvie's character is that it's always been premeditated. A lot of this, whether she knew what was going on the whole time, is a different question. But yep. Sylvie varies from Loki. I know there are variants, haha. But there's been more planning, and it seems like she has been more proactive towards this entire approach. She even says that before they enter into the castle. She says, "I've been waiting my entire life on this. I was taken even before you were created." So Loki's more so reacting to it as Sylvie is being proactive about it. I think the final scene where we see the different Mobius and B-15 who have no idea who Loki is, our traditional Loki that we know from Avengers 2012, Mobius says, "You're an analyst, you go figure it out." Like, he's just normal, is, I don't know. I mean, she knew how to use that temp pad Apple Watch thing that Kang had, so maybe she knew where he was going. But I think this is a good introduction to Marvel viewers that there are multiple realities. Yeah. You see like Earth 616 and then other realities too. I would assume they probably make it like much more tighter. Maybe there's just like one or two realities going down the timeline.
It
there
looks crazy. I mean, movies. They just I think Mobius mentioned what, there's 60 something branch timelines already,
which if we come back to episode 2, what was that all about? Never got clarity on that. Like, when Sylvie made all the branches in the timelines, did any of them even branch into reality, or did they all get pruned?
I don't know.
That has to be the biggest what happened there.
I don't know.
Yeah, so none of us know. But I hope that answers your question. I think it was just like showing us that there are new kids in town, and they look the same, but they're very different.
Yeah, it's a very fascinating. I mean, the problem with and the best thing about the series Loki and what we've learned about the MCU and what we know about it going forward is that there are currently no rules, right? Like, it's total chaos now, right? Like, Wanda created an entire fake reality in Newark, New Jersey, or wherever the heck she was, and then became the Scarlet Witch and could hear her kids through an alternate reality spell, right? We know that. Then Loki turns up and there's 60 plus branch timelines occurring. He's in a different one currently right now, right? With people who don't know who he is, who in another timeline would know who he is. So it's total chaos. I mean, it's just total chaos. We know, and then you know about the future, right? Like, you know, Kang the Conqueror is going to play a huge role moving forward. You know that you're getting Spider-Man crossover crap in No Way Home. So these timelines are there's no rules right now, which is awesome, but it's horrifying because I have no idea what the fuck is going on. So it's really, really cool. It's really, really wild. And I think the varying Kangs are going to be extremely interesting because who can you trust, right? Like, how could you possibly trust a Kang at this point? Because I think this one, I truly believe this one was a bad Kang. That wink, "I'll see you soon," wink. Fuck you, man. Fuck you. Don't hit me with that. Don't wink at me when I kill you. What kind of shit is that?
You have a good point. We got to put this out there so everyone knows that this is your theory, because if it comes true, which could be likely, be the first one to say it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Please, Kevin Feige, just bring me on. Special consultant. Yeah. Idiot guy.
Come give me a
check. You know what? I'm sure they do, right? They've got to have, like, an idiot department at Marvel, right? And they're like, if you know nothing, which you do, this is the idiot department. What is this? How do you like it? And you just go, like, and you're watching, like, Ragnarok, and you're like, wow, very pretty. That was fun, right? Like, that's the idiot department. So bring me on to the idiot department, and let me go, wow, that guy eating the apples is fucking nuts, man. Like, that guy's cool. We like him.
Yeah.
Right?
And
like, that's
the idiot
it.
Department is overseen by Taika Waititi.
Yes.
Who is, like, also part of management. So he can, like, facilitate between the two. And he just sits there with his arms crossed and his fingers. He's like, what they're trying to say here is, yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, they got to make these, like, so what this, I've been forgetting this entire conversation. Like, I want to say it, and then I keep forgetting about it because there's better points.
Did you write it down?
No, it's just all in the head. But I think what was so cool about this episode is the fact that there was so much build up and then it actually happened.
Yeah.
And this is, like, very rare in movies, TV shows, like Game of Thrones, right? We spent, like, 2 years fantasizing about all of these things up until the point where at work, the admin on my floor was like, I don't know, maybe they're actually all dragons. And, like, was reciting some theory that I saw from YouTube or whatever, like Tyrion was going to be a dragon or I don't know, something strange. Jesus. And, like, it was, like, so deep into the story. And then all we get is, well, spoilers, if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, like, come out of your cave, please. We just see the Night King.
Also, if you haven't seen it, don't do it.
You're not missing
out. It'll just ruin it for you.
Yeah. We just see the Night King come out, and then, you know, Arya just stabbed. And it makes sense from a movie, but when you spend so much time watching it on YouTube, like, this was like a supercharged compounding kicker where everyone was making these videos about who King is and when's he coming. And then all of a sudden they were like, yep, here you go. And yeah, I can't wait to watch the new Rockstar videos. Eric Voss still licking his wounds over the Mephisto WandaVision. We weren't really going to get a good character in Falcon Winter Soldier, and the Power Broker was a bit of a letdown, so I feel like this made up for that.
Stop bringing it up.
I know. I'm sorry. Ken, I think we're going to get to a breakdown of each of the characters, but I believe we are promised to see No Way Home trailer today, and then Doctor Strange will
today?
Be next year.
Are you shitting me?
I think it's this week. We are getting it because people were saying after Loki bringing that trailer. So one sentence, related to the multiverse.
My gosh, Lou, I think it came out. Nope. Sorry.
No, not yet.
I apologize, folks.
Spider-Man No Way Home, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. Spider-Man No Way Home, my perception of it is the what is happening here. And then Doctor Strange is like, here's the plan. Or like maybe like a higher level of thinking of what's going on. But like, what do you think? Because we're very far away from like in any Avengers 5 type of thing. And also, like, can you just imagine Sam in space? He's gonna be like in his weird white costume, his Captain America suit.
I do really love that.
Imagine Bucky in space.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's been fun. You know, I think it's cool, man. The No Way Home thing is going to be a lot of the. I think is going to be a lot of like the rules. Setting, right? Because it's gonna it's gonna really have the Doctor Strange, the you know, what's his name, Benedict Cumberbatch is gonna be in that movie, and I think it's gonna kind of set the standard, right? It's okay, this is how we travel multiverses, this is how we deal with multiversal problems, this is et cetera, and that'll really allow Doctor Strange to set the foundation for when he comes back in Multiverse of Madness. So I imagine that not all is going to go super well in Spider-Man, thus leading to a multiverse of madness for Doctor Strange, and then the Quantumania at the end. And then you've got to be saying to yourself, are we getting a team up? Right? Like,
it seems like a Loki, Wanda, Doctor Strange team up, but we don't know if Wanda's good or bad. Here's a bit of a soundbite for you.
Yeah.
Marvel delivered on a surprise that we anticipated coming, but had no faith was actually going to be delivered. And the fact that they have delivered a whopping secret, I think pays a lot to the fan base going forward. And there's like an abundance of patience that I have now where they could be like, in the year 2030, we are delaying all of our movies till then. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, cool, understand. Deal. Like, they've given us much wiggle room here.
And absolutely. Cool. And I think the best part is sometimes 2 + 2 has to equal 4, right? There was so much going into the show that said, wow, the main villain probably is Kang, right? Like, when you look at it, and Eliath gets brought in, and Renslayer gets brought in, and all of these, the pyramids, right? And all of these connections to the character of Kang, and then the Kang Q-U-Q-E-N-G logo on the building in the void, and right, like all of these things that just make sense. 2 + 2 = 4, and it was perfectly executed. It was a perfect secret with these Easter egg drops and these only if you're in the know things. And people like us who seek out those types of things because we're just not that knowledgeable, right? So we seek out the Easter egg breakdowns and we seek out the oh, what could this mean? Because we like to theorize. We think that's fun. But there are people sitting there who don't, right? Who don't seek that out and rely on their own base knowledge or their own base ignorance to enjoy and be entertained.
Which is fine.
And it's totally, and both of them are totally fine ways to be a fan and experience entertainment in the way that you want to do it. But here's the best part, is that at the end of that, you should still be satisfied with the answer, right? Like, that's the job of the entertainer, right? That's the job of the writer. That's the job of the producer and the director and the actors and all of those folks. Even if 2 + 2 = 4 at the beginning of a 4-hour movie, right? You go into Lord of the Rings, even if you didn't read the books, you knew that after 12 hours, the ring was going to get destroyed, right? Like, there was no way that this franchise was going to end with somebody holding on to the ring, right? Like, you know that, right? You go into Harry Potter, even if you don't read the books, and you go, Harry is going to beat Voldemort at the end of this, right? You know that. That is base knowledge, just from like being a human being and being alive and knowing how stories works. But at the end of the day, you're still satisfied with it because it's good storytelling. It's phenomenal storytelling and script writing and directing and production value and editing and et cetera, et cetera. And when you go into a show like this, where there's so many expectations, and so many different ways that this show could go, right? And so much money behind it, and so many secrets, and this and that and the other. But when you go into it and you say, 2 + 2 = 4 here, this should be Kang. And it is, and it's still so wonderful. That is the definition of good entertainment, of good writing, of good production, et cetera, et cetera. It was a good show. There is no way to deny it. And Marvel continues to prove that even with a movie like Black Widow, right? A character that we know is dead, right? This can't progress a story that much, but it gives you this 2 + 2 = 4, and it was still fucking good.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? And it was still surprising. Said by Ken.
Yeah, the best stories are the ones that you know what are going to happen. And that's why Endgame made $3 billion almost. I mean, sorry. Not that point. The point of this should appeal to an audience who could be satisfied if they care reading into the weeds and who just want to watch it like layman's. That's how Endgame becomes so successful, because you understood the story and that they were going to prevail at the end of it. Humans like this story. We tell it all the time. It's the hero's journey, as Joseph Campbell talks about, you even see in Star Wars. So we always know good's going to prevail, and that's fine. But it's the how we get there that really matters.
Yeah, that's the fun part. That's why we do it. All right, Lou, let's do a little character walkthrough here. We had some big moments with some big folks. We'll start at the bottom and move to the top. Miss Minutes, a little bit of a letdown there. There was nothing behind Miss Minutes.
Yeah, it, except jumping out at the screen when you walk into the castle. Kang's got like the door ring bell. And is like, okay, whenever somebody comes in, just pop out. And the Miss Minutes thing is weird because it's clearly some sort of like intelligence, but it also can only be in one place at once, which I find is strange. Like in a show where everyone's a variant and they can be in different locations and such, the fact that Miss Minutes is just like finite and has to jump through time somehow, like Renslayer is like, where did you go? Is just very weird. But yeah, her moment, terrifying at like 6 in the morning when she jumps out and says, like, basically, here I am. So strange.
Correct. Correct.
Would you think?
No, totally with you. I suppose there could be more Miss Minutes in the future. Who knows? Okay. Miss Renslayer. We get a little
teacher,
scene of her
teacher
as a teacher Renslayer, B-15 and another hunter, track her down in her school. We don't get closure on that scene either, which gives more, it gives a little bit more credence to the fact that Loki's in an alternate branch when he gets pushed through the time, the temp pad, because we don't know where Renslayer, teacher Renslayer, and B-15 and the other hunter are. We're not sure where they're at. We never got closure on that scene, but she's a teacher. She kind of she very much makes easy work out of Mobius with his little pruning stick there. Kicks him right in the fucking schnoz, and he goes to the ground. And instead of pruning him, she just wants to go get some answers. So she opens up a door and disappears. Lou, where do you think she's going?
She's going to see some sort of Kang. She's going to see her Kang. Maybe he's an inferior Kang that wants to. Well, so in the comics, there's the Kang court and they all get together and they're basically the ones that like rule the time. So maybe there's a different personality version of Kang that we're going to see that she goes to. But can we know where Renslayer is? She's at Franklin Delano Roosevelt High School.
Yeah.
And she's probably teaching math or something. So imagine like being like in like a public school and you just see a bunch of Minutemen.
No,
through.
It's horrifying. Like, it's horrifying. I mean, listen, we came from a place where there were fucking bomb threats every other day, but like that would still be horrifying.
Yeah. So that was crazy. Did you feel like you were satisfied with the Renslayer for this TV show? Like the show gave us so much.
Yeah, it really did. I can't say that I am, but I can say that I'm interested in learning more. And I definitely think that that's on the docket, right? Like that's very clearly coming in the future. And that's totally fine. That's totally fine by me.
I would rather know more about Renslayer than U.S. agent John Walker. But I would not want to. I'm sorry, I made you mad again. I would not want to know more about Renslayer compared to Norm from WandaVision. Because I don't care about Norm. I don't think Norm's important. We got to move on from Norm. I digress. Renslayer is a teacher in some variant form.
Yeah.
I think she's going to go see Kang. I think she is a lot guiltier than we think. I think she knows one story and is going to be like scared and like, oh, they found us out. But that's just my thoughts.
Yeah. So let's go to Sylvie here. Sylvie had a little bit of an interesting episode. She kind of reverted, I think, a little bit. Although, again, in my prediction, I have her what looks like a mistake right now, air quotes, actually turning out to be the correct decision. But she and Loki kind of get into a little bit of an internal strife between themselves slash each other slash whatever you want. They have a little bit of a knife battle. There's a little smoochy smooch. And then she pushes him through the temp pad and delivers the poke to Kang's tummy, which ends that Kang with a wink. And he will see us soon. But Lou, Sylvie, like you said, always a little bit premeditated. It made sense, though, her actions in this episode to me.
Yeah, and we still don't know Sylvie's motives, right? Like, even in the beginning, something that we have neglected to talk about is Miss Minutes basically saying, Loki, Sylvie, here is the life that you guys have been fighting for. Just stop. You don't have to keep going. We're just going to give it to you. And in that world of Sylvie, it's like, Sylvie, you don't have to be on the run anymore. But that's all she knows. That's who she is. So what are we going to be doing with Sylvie once all of this is resolved? So it's still strange. I hope we get more from that character, and I'm happy that she didn't perish and die. I think if you were to listen to this podcast a couple of weeks ago, you would have thought that Mobius was going to die. You would have thought that Sylvie was going to die. And ultimately, I'm happy that these characters are still going to be there because they're likely to be used in some sort of capacity. And I think that will be really cool going forward. But yeah, for Sylvie, I don't think it was clear. I hope we get more in the future.
Yeah, I think we absolutely will. Yeah, I am as well. I think, like I said, I think her character arc is kind of going to hit a little bit of a snag, right? Because everybody's going to assume that she voluntarily ruined the multiverse, right? But again, I think we might see that turns out to be the proper decision, and that her thinking was correct.
Oh, can I give you a prediction?
Please do, buddy.
At the start of either Ant-Man and the Wasp or Multiverse of Madness, we will be introduced to the brutal Kang, the one who's a bigger killer. He will return. Yeah. to that castle thing and kill Sylvie. I think Sylvie will appear, but I don't think she'll be important to the storyline going forward. But I think she'll be around long enough to show us the different version variant who is coming. That is just
interesting, man. That's interesting. That's scary.
Because what else is the point of her?
Here's an interesting one, and I actually saw this take on Twitter. Kang is a scary motherfucker, right? Like, he's unhinged a little bit, and then now there's a million of them. What about Ant-Man and the Wasp being a little bit of like a kid's movie? You know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit more loosey-goosey than some of the other MCU movies. It's not as brutal, you could say, in some sense. Definitely more of the on the comedy side of things. Do you think we get like a scary Kang in Ant-Man and the Wasp, or do you think they have to keep that like goofy Kang energy in that type of movie? I mean,
whatever next Kang we see is going to be polar opposite, just to show us like
because we know
break.
And we heard an interview with Elizabeth Olsen not too long ago where she says that Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness is scary as hell. So I think that might be where you get like scary Kang.
It's also Disney.
Yeah, but I mean, Sam Raimi has got a history of creepy shit. Like, you know, yeah. So I don't know.
I will agree with that. But now that we have, there's speculation that the purpose of Kang and Ant-Man and the Wasp, one is to show likely more of the quantum realm, and also Chronopolis, Kang's central utopia is in the quantum realm, so that is going to be the purpose of that movie. And there's speculation that that Kang variant, whichever one we see, is going to be the one that kills Hank Pym, and that his journey, Michael Douglas, will come to an end. So I don't know if it's going to be a kid movie per se. I don't know. I mean, like, what Marvel movie would you relate it to that's like also a kid movie, like Guardians of the Galaxy 1?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know, it's interesting. Maybe? Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just like, I don't know. I think Ant-Man kind of comes across as like a little bit more kiddish than some of the other ones. Kind of gives you like that goofy Marvel feeling instead of like, you know, like Doctor Strange, which was like a fucking, like, you know, heroin trip.
Yeah.
Do you trip on heroin?
I don't know, but quick side tangent. You see Tilda Swinton at the award ceremony with Timothy Chalamet?
I did. She is a fascinating woman.
She puts her name tag on his back after patting him on the back to congratulate him for winning an award. And he's just walking around. Yes. He's got Tilda Swinton sticker on his back, like a big dummy. So kudos to the one.
You do got to love it. She's a fascinating lady, that one. Yeah. All right, Lou, the big guy, Loki. The
Lokester. Yeah, I wanted to give him a hug. Once he gets back to TVA after all of that. And he goes to see Mobius, and he's like, "Mobius, my bud." And he's like, "Who are you?"
Yeah. Now, you do not love to see it. So he kind of potentially falls for the Kang. You know, this is our best hope, right? Don't ruin me. You'll ruin everything. And then he tries to stop Sylvie. Sylvie pushes him through the temp pad. He winds up back at the TVA, an alternate TVA, very clearly, as shit is starting to hit the fan. Mobius and B-15 have no idea who he is. Lewis, what is next for our guy Loki? We got the post-credit. Loki will return in season 2. We got news today. I don't know if it's today, but I saw it today, so it's today for me. Eat shit. That Loki is going to reprise his role in Multiverse of Madness. Yeah. We don't know about any other. You know, I think that would be the nearest one. It would have to be Spider-Man before that if we're following like this multiverse movie release schedule. But I don't think he'd be a fit there. So we know we're getting him back in. Sorry, I hit the desk again. We're getting him back in Multiverse of Madness, and we're getting a Loki season 2. What is going on with Tom Hiddleston?
I don't know. Maybe I honestly don't know, but I'm hoping we see more of the Loki variants going forward. We know we're going to get Kid Loki. Alligator Loki is probably less expensive than Richard E. Grant Loki, so that's good. And if the classic Loki has passed in the cloud of Eliath, then I think that's nice closure, because there was speculation that he's still alive. But this Loki, man, I mean, there still is, I don't know. Like, does he go back? Like, does he, Honestly, I'm at a loss for words because I haven't thought about a plan of Loki. I just keep thinking about the head fake that the directors gave us in showing us King Loki.
Yeah.
And now us being like, wait, that wasn't in the season. So it's like, where
well,
we
now there's
there?
So many, there's so many different timelines now, right? That I, that we could supposedly or potentially see a King Loki in season two. I think if I'm predicting anything for the future of the Loki series, I think we can expect Loki season two to be much more of a quote unquote procedural, with Loki kind of jumping timeline to timeline here, trying to figure out where the fuck he is and what the fuck is going on, and meeting a lot of different Mobiuses, maybe one on a jet ski, and meeting a lot of different versions of himself again, and meeting a lot of different versions of some of the other Avengers, right? Be it Cap or be it, you know, who, you know, Thor or whoever else that he might encounter over those journeys. But I would expect season two of Loki to be like, how do I get back where I was, right? And a lot of temp pad jumping and a lot of trying to figure things out.
What is
along
back?
Those lines.
He knows he dies because of Thanos. Maybe he goes to right? see Thor again. But you know what's cool? Because this show is so successful that I think it now opens the door for like bigger people to want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And I can't say that would probably be the same thing for season one. Like the biggest MCU appearance we had was Lady Sif from Thor, and besides that we didn't really get a lot of the other members of the cast, but I could see like yep. really big guest stars in season two because of this project and how well it did. So I think that's good news for us.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know what happens to him.
I'm excited.
Maybe he becomes like this leader of the TVA because Renslayer is gone and he's just like the one that gives them direction. I don't know who is to say. But I'm just happy that the season has ended and we know that there are not just a bunch of robots leading the TVA. I think this was a much more satisfying ending.
You gotta love it, man. I'm extremely excited for what comes next. What an exciting week, though, for Marvel, right? I mean, geez Louise, you got what's her name? Black Widow release over the weekend. The Emmys come out yesterday. We're recording this early Wednesday morning on the release of Loki Day. But like, just what an incredible couple of days.
Yeah.
What is it? Less than a week, five full days. And you've gotten a Marvel cinematic return. You've gotten Emmy nominations for WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier. And then you get the Loki season finale, which kind of blows everybody's freaking minds. Yeah. And here we are. And then you get a little bit of a break. I don't want to like set the table, too early.
Right.
But you go from Loki, which finishes here July 14, and then you don't go again until mid-August when you get your What If series, and then Shang-Chi comes out in September. So we got a couple of weeks off here, a couple of weeks to really let it simmer and let it set and baste yourself in the juices of the recent MCU releases. Thoughts, Lou. I mean, what
Maybe
about
we'll
this
take
last
a vacation?
Week? Whoa, buddy! I don't know if we got time for that.
I'm gonna take it upon myself. I'm gonna be Professor What If. I'm going to read up on those stories, and then when we
Good
do
for you,
the pod before that, you are gonna essentially just interview me and ask me questions about this What If series, and then we're gonna take it from there because I think that series is gonna be bonkers. That's gonna be crazy. But we got a couple guests that are coming up. I think I would love to see Daze Johnson come back. Daze was like so far ahead of the curve for us. They were already hyping up Florence Pugh. They were already talking about Richard E. Grant. They were already talking about Billy Kaplan, the son of Wanda.
Yeah.
And all of these things have come true and fruition in culture. And I would love to get Daze back on the show to talk more about that. But yeah, I still think there's lots of stuff. Maybe we dive back into our MCU, and at some point, Ken, we're gonna have to produce a form of rankings.
I know. And we've got some folks. We got some folks who want to come on and discuss their rankings. We've got Daze who we know we want back, very, very much so. They want to come back as well, it seems. So keep an eye out for that.
Rejected Hannah the other day, talking about Black
rejected
Widow.
Hannah. We can always go, we can, you know, there's so much there. And then of course, like Lou mentioned, we still are, I think we're just, I don't even think we did an Avengers, the first Avengers movie recap, because I think everything came out at once. So we are still at movie number 5 or 6. I forget, on our MCU rewatch. So don't be, do not fret, dear listener. There is always content, and Marvel continues to feed us like we are mice on a big wheel, and we're just dying for cheese, and they keep giving us little crumbs. And we keep crawling on the wheel, and we're just going. We're going faster and faster and faster, and they're pumping it out as big and beautiful and busty as they can, and we are eating the cheese, folks. We are eating it all up, and we are spitting it back out here on the MCU for Dummies. So there will always be something here, whether it be an MCU Infinity Saga rewatch, where we currently sit at the first Avengers film, which we will cover eventually. There are rankings to discuss. Everybody is starting to shift their rankings with Disney Plus releases and now Black Widow releases. So there is much to discuss there, as well as the finale of Loki, and what that means for the future of the MCU, alongside What If, which is going to be a lot of fun coming out in August. Lou, any final words for the folks here on MCU for Dummies Loki season finale recap?
I'll just leave this. I'm so excited for Jonathan Majors to be in the MCU as Kang the Conqueror. And I'm very happy at their choice of display that they've given him. Like, they did not make him blue, like some of the shots that you see on Twitter where people have like masked over his face. He's got that one like picture where his biceps look huge and they put like the Kang the Conqueror from the comic mask like over it with the opacity down. I'm happy he's not blue. I'm happy that he's like very clearly a black man in a story that like really needs some more diversity here. And I think it's really cool. I saw some racist stuff being said in the this morning on Twitter in the conversation. They were like, oh, like they changed Kang. Again, it's like similar like Aunt Jemima's story, like for the syrup. They're like, oh, they took this away from us. Like, Kang is blue. Like, get over yourself. These are artistic visual representations of fictionally based characters.
I was just going to say, here's the best important. Part.
And hold on. Yeah. And so when I said something to somebody, they told me to go lick Lord Feige's boot. And I'll leave it at that. So we blocked them.
I responded, Lou, because I am not a foot guy. But I believe that there could be a variant of me out there who loves fucking feet. And I think...
Wait, hold on. That's when commas are really useful. Comma right before the feet. Okay, Ken, unless, to my understanding, does not enjoy having intercourse with feet.
You know what? But who knows what the Ken variants are doing? Alligator Ken is out there fucking feet. I don't know what he's doing, okay? You know, power to him. Power to him. And honestly, if Kevin Feige put his toe in my mouth, I'd probably suck on it, I think.
That's all I have from my side.
All right. Folks, follow us on Twitter at MCU for Dummies. We will see you again next week. Please take a look back in the meantime. Great conversation with at Rejected Hannah, co-host of Cinemania World, who joined us over the weekend, or on Monday, I believe. I forget what day it is.
I'm having a hard time.
It's too early. She joined us recently to talk about the release of Black Widow. Obviously, to read back, take a listen back at all of our recaps of the Loki episodes. And then we will see you again next week with some more Marvel content. Just really exciting times in the MCU. So, folks, we really appreciate you being here with us. Give us a follow on Twitter. Like and subscribe and do the whole thing on all the places where you get podcasts and our YouTube page and all the rest. We really appreciate it and can't wait to be back with you next week. Thank you, Lewis, and thank you to the followers. This has been MCU for Dummies. I am Dummy number 1, Ken. That is Dummy number 2, Lou, and we will see you next week.